We've got a guy on the line, Brian, who was a national host for the Olympics one time.
Like the actual main guy? I don't know if he was ever the number one guy. I think Brian Williams was that, and then it was...
filled around the edges?
Russell. What's his name?
Scott.
So Scott Russell. Did that?
Well, James Duthie joins us now. Were you ever like the main primetime Olympic guy?
No, but at least I know like who Scott Russell is, and I'm not mixing him up with the journeyman defenseman Chris Russell.
Yeah, that wasn't one of my finer moments. Russell.
No, I got you, Jeff was accurate. Thanks, Johnny. I was the national host. I wasn't the primetime host. I was the midday host with Lisa Lassam.
What do you think? What held you back from being the big time host?
Just talent. B-Dubs is a legend. He's done like 24 Olympic Games. How are you ever going to step in his place?
The answer was not enough quality people to work with during the offseason before the Olympics, James.
That's accurate. I completely forgot about you guys till the grappler called me like 2 minutes ago. So you can call me a loser. It's like men's night, and it was pouring rain all day. So all my loser friends at my club went out at 2:30. I said, screw that. But then about 4:30, it was looking okay. So I went out, see if I could get a game. Nobody here. So I'm by myself on 15 as it gets dark. And the back edges of King's Riding, all by my, the course is empty. I'm the only one here.
Wow. How long do they stay open? Because my courses are shutting down very soon.
I don't know. I think we got a week or two left to go by the weather. But
do you enjoy that, though? Like, do you enjoy playing A, by yourself, but B, in elements like this? I don't.
I don't mind. I got a Toucan. It's fine, actually. It's not bad. I don't. You know what I'm always afraid of? I've never had a hole-in-one, and I'm terrified that I've played once or twice a year by myself, and I'm terrified I'm going to get a hole-in-one by myself and be that guy. And do you even tell someone if you get a hole-in-one by yourself, or do you just eat it? I don't even know.
I don't think you can promote it.
No, just your closest friends.
You just have to eat it by yourself. Just
try to convince your wife that it happened, and that's about it. And she won't care that much.
Tape yourself walking up to the screen.
You're saying record it.
You record
as you
yourself
walk
walking up and say, I think I might have got in here.
Actually, that's the move.
Yeah, but then everybody thinks that's almost too much. Like he went up and placed the ball before. I mean, it would take a real loser to fake their own hole in one. But
correct.
Just saying.
We're saying it's possible for you, James.
That would be pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
But
I mean, Jeff's first hole in one I was there for, and I went up ahead, and it wasn't actually in. I threw it in. It's been like a 3-year practical joke. He still thinks he made a hole in one.
Well, didn't you and Pooley and Gino Retta all hit like consecutive hole in ones?
No, Pooley and O-Dog in consecutive weeks, I think.
Right. I thought I heard Gino hit one too.
No, Gino was just in the group.
Oh, I see.
Okay. But that was the day I couldn't be in the photo because I told my wife I was going to work.
Well, you're outing yourself now. My understanding is she's a big, big fan. Hour 3 of Overdrive, it's a must-see.
Yeah, she's more of into the podcast. She'll listen after.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can find it on iTunes and Rubber Boots Podcast. A lot of podcasts now, man. There's a big podcast battle going on here at TSN.
Yeah, but you know what? Overdrive rules. I know that. You got just too big a following. We are happy with Rubber Boots, with our little niche. We've got our little niche, and we're just happy with that.
All right. That's very humble of you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Very correct as well.
James Duthie with us.
Well, it was probably a mistake in retrospect calling it the Rubber Boots Podcast because it was kind of an inside joke with that stupid story I tell about, I'm not going to tell it again, about this guy who used to call me and ask me if I was wearing my rubber boots when I was a sportscaster in Ottawa. And in retrospect, it probably wasn't the best name because if you're out there, you know, searching for a good podcast, who the hell is going to listen to something called the Rubber Boots Podcast?
Yeah, it's not exactly a sales pitch.
I wasn't exactly a marketing guy,
James. Right.
I've worked with James. I have no idea why he called it Rubber Boots. So I've always kind of wondered. So there you go.
Yeah,
now I know.
You're in the inner circle.
Yeah.
Some guy downloading in Australia is like, what the hell's going on here?
In a 30-second version, when I worked at CJOH back in the days in Ottawa, and there was no internet or anything, and people used to call me for scores. Some dude used to call me every night, and he'd say, hey, how are you? And you're wearing your rubber boots tonight. And I used to hang up on the guy, but he called me every night, and after 2 weeks, I was like, okay, I'm just going to bait this guy along. I was bored one night, and I'm like, yeah, I am wearing my rubber boots. And he goes, oh, what color? I'm like, I'm wearing my blue ones tonight. Oh, could you put them up on the desk for me? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to put my blue rubber boots up on the desk during the sportscast tonight for you. Anyway, and this guy called me every day for 2 years, and for whatever reason, the college kids think that's a funny story.
Yeah, I like it, man. Go with it. It's a podcast name now.
Yeah.
You got to own it.
Thing.
With James Duthie. So we were going to get into a number of things with you, but did your kids ever play soccer growing up? Like, are you a soccer household? Because we were talking about that big win last night, Canada over the U.S., even though it wasn't on TV. Did that make noise for you, or what?
It was on, like, the Andy Petrillo digital network.
Yeah, it was on andypetrillo.com or whatever. But
I was very much a soccer. I played soccer growing up, and then my two daughters both played rep. As a matter of fact, my youngest is at a her kind of school at some national tournament in Montreal right now. So we were a big soccer family. I hosted the World Cup again. Thanks for remembering, Brian. The Women's World Cup of back in Van, and that was a big deal for my daughters because they got to meet Christine Sinclair and everybody. And my youngest is a huge TFC fan, so we go to a lot of TFC games. So even though we were doing the Leafs game last night, that was pretty monumental. I mean, I think it's in my lifetime. My little claim to fame was Lyndon Hooper played on the 86 team, the last Canadian team to go to the World Cup. And he played for Napier and I played for Gloucester growing up. And I always had to cover him. And I had no shot. Like, the guy just ran the whole game. He was an unbelievable soccer player. And that's when I knew I should try something else. But I think since they made the World Cup, and there was that Gold Cup victory, maybe a decade, 15 years ago. I only remember it because Steve Nash was on our NBA panel. I was hosting NBA back then, and he was only watching the Gold Cup. He did not watch any of the NBA as the analyst for the panel, and he was still great. But that's probably the biggest win in 20 years for Canadian soccer, and I just thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, first time in 34 years they've beaten the Americans, which is truly an astonishing stat.
Don't you think we're still, as a nation, when we beat America, particularly in something that they should be better at us in, purely because of population, it still means something, right? It still gets you going a little
Absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, it rings out big time. People pay attention to it that much more. I mean, if they beat Mexico, it would be even more impressive.
But probably resonate less
than beating the Americans.
Right. And that, I mean, on the flip side, the American program for the last 2 years, I mean, to not make the World Cup and then to have this happen, I think they thought the lowest of the low is when they didn't make the World Cup, and now they don't respect Canada anyway, so you can guarantee the commentators today are like, we lost to Canada?
Yeah,
big time. To them, that's like losing to, I don't know, Papua New Guinea or something.
What are you looking for here with the Maple Leafs when you consider the four wins that they have this year? Not exactly world beaters that they've gotten past, but they're at Washington tonight, Boston at home on Saturday, at Boston next Tuesday. Three of the next four games are against real heavy hitters in the Eastern Conference here.
Yeah, I banned statement games from the panel until January or something because we overuse that thing, but I think you can fairly say it's certainly the most important week so far, that because I don't think we've learned really anything about them, right? That Minnesota team, Jeff and I were both saying last night, that's the worst team I've seen of all the hockey I've watched this season, and we had to do the Ottawa Senators game against them on Monday, and they won that game, and they were horrible. So I don't think you read really anything into that. But the Caps and two Bruins games, if they come through, there's one other one in the middle, right? So three or four.
Yeah, they got Columbus on Monday.
Yeah, so I mean, if they come through with three or four wins, let's say 6 points out of eight, then I think everybody can feel way better about themselves. But if it's 2 points out of eight or three of eight, then again, it's still early, but you can start to have questions about what's going on there.
Do we have to give Mike Babcock that much credit for changing the lines? It seems like he's getting showered with praise for changing one guy up one spot. Like somehow this was, the most genius move ever. Isn't this just coaching?
I agree 100%. But that's what we do when guys, it's ludicrous because it's something that everyone's probably thought of. Everybody listening to your station said at one point, hey, why don't you put those guys on their proper wings and make that one little swap with Kapanen and struggling? I mean, I guess you have to give him some credit because he actually did it, and he's a stubborn guy who usually doesn't do stuff like that. But you're right. We over-criticize when they make wrong moves, and we by far overpraise when they do things right. I think the goalie rotation thing's interesting, too. I know Pooley's a big fan of really looking at it and not doing what Babcock always does. Obviously, Babcock's super comfortable with Freddie first all the time and the backup second. And we did the numbers from the last 3 years, and it's you know, it's turned out really well. Their record is something pretty good in those back-to-backs when Freddie does that. But I think this was an occasion last night where you can really question it, even though they won the game. Minnesota's so bad that Hutchinson should have won that game. And then you can go into Washington tonight with Freddie going. And even if the guys are a little bit tired, you have your ace in there. And I think you have a really good chance at 3 or 4 points. Maybe they get them anyway, but I think that he's so stubborn on those things that once in a while he needs to show a little bit of flexibility. And maybe last night was one of those occasions.
All right, buddy. Enjoy the rest of the round. Sorry for bothering you.
A little trouble on 15, blocked off. It's a long par 5. Trying to decide if I should try a little low hooking 5-iron. But
I would advise you against it.
Yeah, not try to hit some shot you cannot shoot.
Getting dark out, lay it down the middle of fairway, you can find it.
Okay, fair enough.
Good luck, buddy.
Okay, boys.
James Duthie.
If you want an update later, I know the listeners will just be
live tweet
on the edge of their seats.
Yeah, live tweet your final four holes.
Or not.
Goodbye.
All right, James Duthie, live from some golf course north of the city.